Reporters from Europe back with us. Joe reported that they've had one of the most successful of all the campaigns that have been conducted there. This year's was, he said, the most productive of all. We're thankful for that, thankful for the good work that he and the others have done in that area. It's good to see Robert Street back with us on a more regular basis. Brother Street's one of our elders who's been ill. Our brother Thompson is ill and in the hospital, as was announced. Please let's remember him and pray for him. A great godly man, and we're thankful for his life. Thankful for all of these men who serve us as elders, and for our deacons and teachers, for every member, whatever may be your function in the kingdom, we're thankful for your being able to function in that capacity and to be associated with you. 2 weeks ago, we were studying on the lines of the development of a mature morality. And I want to pick up there and approach it from a different standpoint for this morning, give you some things to think about as we consider one of the parables of the Lord. I want to read the parable with its introduction from Luke, the 10th chapter. And behold, a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered right. Do this and you'll live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I'll repay you when I come back. May God bless the reading of his word. You immediately recognize this parable as the parable of the mean robbers. No, that's not what it's usually called. You recognize it as the parable of the lousy Levite or the unconcerned priest. No, you recognize this parable by the name that it has acquired and retained all down through nearly 2,000 years of its existence. The parable of the what? The Good Samaritan. The parable of the Good Samaritan. In this very brief and picturesque story, we have a very comprehensive picture of life itself. In it, we have described in very brief and yet very tangible and very beautiful detail the three planes of life, the three rules of life that men live and by which they live their lives. These three planes, incidentally and hopefully, are not necessarily stable to the extent that those of us who find ourselves living on one of these planes cannot change. Hopefully, these three planes of life can become three stages, two of which are transitory and temporary, leading us to the third, which is maturity. And I don't doubt but what every one of us, at some time or other in our life, that each of us has lived on at least each one of these planes for a short period of time. There are three of these planes that he mentions in this parable. We're going to call them rules or principles or, as we'll notice in a moment, philosophies of life. The first one of these rules is what we might call the iron rule. This is the rule that's very hard and cruel. This is the kind of rule that shows a disrespect for the rights of other people. The kind of rule that does not worry about another person's rights. These are the lawless ones. The thieves or the robbers represent this kind of thinking, and they represent a very large part of humanity today. Not a majority, thank God, but they represent too large a portion of humanity. Too many people live their lives on the basis of the iron rule. This priest and Levite, or rather the robbers, the priest and Levites are the next rule. The robbers were a premeditated group. They banded themselves together for the purpose of abusing someone else. Very seldom does someone who takes advantage of another ever approach that person without feeling that he has an advantage over him, either by numbers or by a gun or a knife or a club. Some way, though, he gains an edge over that person in order to take advantage of him. These people are like that. These men saw to it that they perpetrated a very heinous crime. They lay in wait for this man. They probably had some people, a man or two, up at the other end of the gorge, saying, "Here he comes. This looks like the one." And they passed the message on down to the people that were lying there in wait at probably a narrow place where they could reach this man as he slowed down and overpower him. They did so, and when the man came there, they probably clubbed him in the head with a club or a stone. They knocked him off his beast. They stripped his clothes off of him, took his money pouch, took his camel or his ass or his horse or whatever he was riding upon, and then fled into the shadows of the night, leaving this poor human lying there bleeding, hurting, crying, perhaps unconscious. It says they left him half dead. Well, that's not a very pretty picture, is it? What makes people act like that? Well, it's their philosophy of life. Their philosophy of life. You know, everybody has a philosophy. You've got one. And out of these three philosophies that we're going to be studying this morning, you're going to find where you live your life, what plane you live it on. What is the principle or the rule by which you live your life? You'll see yourself here. You may not like what you see. You may see someone, if not hypocritical, someone inconsistent. And I suspect that all of us will find ourselves partly in one of these planes and partly in the other. I doubt that any of us are totally in one plane or the other. But it's your philosophy, and it was their philosophy, that caused these men to act like they acted. The philosophy of the robbers is the philosophy, what's yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. Their philosophy is might makes right. Their philosophy is do unto others before they do unto you. Their philosophy really is every man for himself at the expense of others. Was it the love of money that caused them to do it? Yes, it was. And the love of money is the root of all evil. But back behind the love of money is this love of self. Money's not any good if you don't have anybody to spend it on. Money's no good if you didn't have a real love for yourself, an inordinate love, an out-of-proportion love for yourself. There wouldn't be any reason to go out and extend or expend the energy to rob somebody. It takes ingenuity to rob. It takes planning and clever cunning, and it takes all this, and it takes energy to do all that thinking. And if you don't have anybody to spend it on, it's not worth all the effort. No, these men were lovers of self. That's the tap root of all sin. The love of money is the root of all evil. The love of self is the tap root of all sin. That's why Eve rebelled against God, was because of the love of herself. That's why Cain killed his brother Abel, because he loved himself more than he loved Abel. This brand of people, though they are not the majority, they are growing, and their philosophy is spreading, and their number is increasing. Joe Hacker, in a printed lecture that he gave, read from the Herald the Tribune, the European edition, of 1973, January 14th, and said that in America, one out of every three homes in the United States today has been burglarized. 4 persons out of 10 are afraid to walk alone at night in their own neighborhood. Crime is increasing at a rate of over 65% per year in this country today. Yeah, it's increasing. This philosophy is catching on. There have been books written today. Are you aware of the fact that there have been books written on telling people how to cheat? How to go into a restaurant and eat without paying for it? How to fly all over the United States and then get by with it? How to use credit cards? How to steal them? How to use them that belong to somebody else? This kind of an attitude today is pretty prevalent. And behind all of it is this love for yourself. But this philosophy is contrary to all laws. It's contrary to all reason. Even thieves have a code of honor that prevent them from robbing and stealing from each other. And when they don't live up to that code of honor, they are eliminated. It's even contrary to everybody's common sense. You don't live with people and live on this kind of a plane. They know that. You know that. I know that. The thieves and the robbers who attacked this man, they know that. Or they knew it. It's contrary to the law of Moses in the 10th and in the 8th commandments. Moses forbade thievery, thou shalt not steal. And he forbade even covetousness, which is the root of thievery. He said, thou shalt not covet. When Jesus Christ came and taught, he warned people against covetousness. There was a man standing in the audience one day back around him. Jesus was standing there talking or teaching, or I forget what the occasion was now, but it was a very important event. And this man standing there couldn't think about anything but what had happened to him at the hand of his brother. His brother had stolen the inheritance, or he had probably was the older brother, and he had taken charge of it, and he hadn't let his younger brother have his part. And this man began to whine, make my brother give me my part of the inheritance. Jesus said, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Be careful, he said, and keep yourselves from all covetousness, for a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Jesus warned against covetousness. When Paul wrote to the Colossians, he said, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: immorality, impurity, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, covetousness. When he wrote to the Galatians, he showed there that covetousness is at the very heart of all of the lawlessness that's existing in the world today. The works of the flesh are plain: immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. All of these, you see, have at the very root of it this thing of covetousness, wanting at the expense of other people the gratification of our own desires. What's yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. If I have to kill you, I'll get it. And Paul said that such people just will not inherit the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians 6:10, he said, don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor robbers shall inherit the kingdom of God. They're not going to get in. Well, that was the philosophy of these thieves. Does this philosophy exist in the church today? Yes, it does. It exists among some preachers. I've heard of preachers leaving town, having left debts unpaid, just get up and leave. But you owe this amount of money. Well, it doesn't really matter. Looking out for self, every man for himself at the expense of other people. I suppose, and I pray that every one of us here is beyond that level where we would go out with a club or a gun or a knife and hold someone up and by force take from them what actually belongs to them. But you know what? Not every one of us here today probably is above this thing of incurring bad debts and just walking off and leaving them. Not every one of us is beyond the stage of development where we would actually gyp people out of what belongs to them. Well, that's the philosophy that these men had. Where are you? Do you live on this plane? Do you make bad debts and you don't pay them? You're a robber. You're a thief, and you'll go to hell for it. That's right. Do you go around with debt so heaped upon you that you just can't pay them and you just keep on going, and people have to come and just badger you with bludgeons and with the law to get what is due? Well, then you're one of these thieves. You're one of the ones like the robber whose philosophy is every man for himself at everybody else's expense. And Paul says, and Jesus says, and Peter says, and so does John and everybody else that wrote by the inspiration of God, you'll go to hell. You're not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. This isn't the majority of people, but it is all too prevalent to me, even among people who call themselves Christians. But there's another rule that we see in this parable, and that's the silver rule. This rule is also, it's cold and it's dispassionate. It shows a dispassionate unconcern, not so much for the rights of other people, but for the needs of other people. I suspect that those who live by the silver rule would be all in favor of everybody receiving their rights. I do not expect that these people who are very legal, they're very law-abiding, they'll want everybody to get their rights, but they're not very concerned about people receiving their needs. The priest and the Levite fall into this category. They're two examples. Am I being too judgmental and too overly critical by saying that the majority of people in the world live on this plane? I may be. By the silver rule. Cold, impassionate, unconcerned for the needs of other people. These two men, I don't know where they were going. They weren't together. They were alone. And they came along and they saw up on the horizon, they saw a clump of something. They couldn't make it out at first. And then they saw, that's a man. And they heard him as he was groaning. But instead of stopping, they began to rationalize. You know how they do it. They began to think, oh, I'm not falling for this trick. This place is infested with robbers, and I know this is another one of their ploys by which they're going to get me to stop and show mercy to somebody that's not even ill. In fact, he's not even sick. He's not been hurt. He's a robber himself, and he's waiting to grab me. So he went by on the other side very cautiously. He pulled his robes around him and walked on by on the other side and went on his way. That may be what he thought. I don't know what he thought. The Levite did the same thing. But you can sure rationalize yourself out of helping someone in need. Why do people act like this? Well, like I say, you rationalize. But here again, it comes back to your philosophy, I think. The philosophy of these men was simply this. What's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. Very simple. Easily stated, easily formulated. What's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. You leave me alone, and I'll leave you alone. I didn't rob you, and I'm not going to rob you. You got into the mess, get out of it. Any idiot would have known better than to go down here at night like you did, and then you invited it on yourself. You set yourself up. Haven't you got any sense? And they found themselves being really unprepared to extend themselves to help this man. This people, or these people's philosophy, is pretty well summed up, not in every man's for himself at the expense of others. These people have the attitude, every man for himself to the neglect of others. Every man for himself to the neglect of others. This philosophy is characterized by love of ease. Love of ease. Love of non-involvement. Love of not being encumbered with the problems of other people. And how tempting a philosophy it is to not be bothered. When Jesus Christ told the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, it was this that was the philosophy of the rich man. Just didn't want to be involved. The man had sores. He was poor. He didn't know what all would be involved. It might involve a lot of expense medically. It might involve a lot of things. He'd just rather pass him by and let him have what crumbs. I didn't even say he gave him the crumbs. said that's what the poor man was wanting. This is the philosophy of the goats. In Matthew 25, Jesus said, those who are the goats. This is no reflection on your herd, Brother Ballinger. But he did use goats. But he said, this is the philosophy of the goats. When I was sick, you didn't visit me. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was in prison, you didn't come to me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. What's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. This philosophy is one that shows up in people who are too busy to love, really. Too busy to be concerned, too busy to care. Perhaps they're too religious to be involved. They're too, I don't know, I get the impression that these two men were on their way up to the temple to a worship service, and they looked at their watch and said, well, we really don't have time to stop. A church begins at 11 o'clock, and I've got to be there. I'm supposed to lead singing. Or I'm supposed to speak. I'm supposed to have the scripture reading today, and I just can't stop. They were too religious, perhaps. You get that impression. At least they were religious people. I don't know where they were going, but it mentions they were a priest and a Levite. These were church people. But the philosophy didn't ring true to you, to their religion or to the religion of Christ. Jesus says that if you really are religious, you'll be visiting the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And James says you'll show a faith that has works behind it. You'll not only just say, be warm and filled. He said you'll give them what's necessary for the body. And to do less than that is to do less than being than that of Christianity. They're too blind to see that you can't really love God without loving your fellow man. These people, you see, they're not following Christ. They're not imitating Christ. Or they maybe hope they'll stay out of jail. People like this won't ever be found in jail. Why? Because of the fact that they're not going to go out and rob and steal and blunder or bludgeon someone into taking what belongs to them. They're not going to do that. But they're going to see to it that they don't have to give up what belongs to them rightfully either, in spite of the other person's need. They won't be in jail, but I'm not sure it'll keep you out of hell either. Jesus said through Paul, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is the law of the Lord. In Matthew 25, verses 45 and 46, it says that these people who were unable to extend themselves to those who were in need, these priests and Levites who go on their way, he said, these are the ones who will be sentenced eternally to hell. He said, then I'm going to say to them, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting darkness, into the punishment prepared for the devil and his angels. Get out of my sight. Is there an application today for us? Yes, there is. Especially for those of us who are middle-aged. I don't have any application, but I have one observation that I want to make out of my own experience. I find that the older I get, the colder I get. And those of you who are approaching middle age, I think it could be written down as a rule, the older you get, the colder you get concerning other people's problems. The more you want to build those walls round about you to isolate you from any inconvenience or isolate you from becoming entangled in other people's problems. I'd rather not be bothered. And we find it so easy to put on our slippers that, you know, that are so comfortable and sit in that old comfortable chair and just simply not stir to get out of it to go and help other people who are in need. The older you get, the colder you get. God save us from that. Boy, I've seen that in me recently, and it scares me. Unless the love of God keeps you warm toward the needs of other people, you and I, by the law of what is natural, are going to become, what is the word? Would there be a word for sclerotized? Arterial sclerosis. Sclerotized, maybe. I don't know, but we get set up. We become inflexible. We become unyielding. We become unresponsive to the needs of other people. Pray God that doesn't happen to you. But that's one of the planes of living. Then finally, there's the golden rule. The iron rule represented by the thieves and the robbers. The silver rule represented by the priests and the Levites. And then there's the golden rule that's warm, it's generous, and unmindful of its own rights and self in the providing not only of the rights of others, but providing for the needs of others. What a beautiful quality that is. And the Samaritan is the example of this minority of the human race. He was an outcast. He wasn't even recognized by probably the man that was lying there in the ditch. Probably the man lying in the ditch was a Jew. That was the picture I think Jesus was giving. The Samaritan wasn't even recognized by this man as being much of a human being, more like an animal to be spit upon and to be shunned and ignored. But it says that when that man came along, he couldn't stand it. Well, that's not what it says. That's not what the word. It says he was moved with compassion. But you know what it is to be moved with compassion? Translated into everyday heart language, and it just simply means you can't stand it. You can't stand seeing him like that. You can't stand it. Your heart won't allow you. Your insides literally curdle up. They can't stand it to see someone suffering like that. That's what compassion is. It's not being able to stand it. Why, he got out off of his donkey and went to that man and cradled him in his arm, and he began to bathe those places that had been bludgeoned, began to pour upon them oil and wine. And he asked him probably, "Do you think you're able to travel?" And when the man probably just nodded his head, he took that human being, his brother and God, took him and put him upon his own beast and took him to an inn, carried him in and laid him on the bed, took care of him. He had to leave, but he made provision for this man, said here to the innkeeper, "Take this money, and if you incur any further expense in the care for this man, I'll take care of it when I come back." Whew, that's beautiful. He put his oil and wine on this man. It says he was on a journey. He wasn't just lollygagging around. He was on a journey. He was going somewhere. He took time out of his own schedule. I know that the Eastern schedule isn't as busy as ours. But even so, whatever schedule they were on, they were supposed to be there, he was. He was on his way somewhere. He was on a journey. He took his time out of his schedule, put his oil and wine upon a stranger, put that stranger upon his own beast, took that stranger and put him in his room, took care of him with his money, with his hands, and further made provision for extended care and said, "If you need anything further than this, don't you charge it to him. I'll come back and pay you myself." That man has gone down in history as one of the great men of all times. His philosophy was what caused him to do it. You know what his philosophy is? His philosophy is, "What's mine is yours if you need it." His philosophy was based upon, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor like yourself." His philosophy is, "Do unto others as you would have them do to you." His philosophy was, "Every man for the other at even his own expense if necessary. Every man for other people, even at his own expense." What a difference in these three philosophies. Every man for himself at others' expense. Every man for himself to the neglect of others. And then this that excels and surpasses. Every man for others, even at his own expense, if necessary. You see how this reflects Jesus? This was the Lord's philosophy. He said, "I came not to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many." Later on, Paul was writing about this great mind of the Lord Jesus Christ and said that he, though being in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped. In other words, he did not count it that his rights could be selfishly held to himself at the expense of other people's needs. That's what it's saying. And when he wrote to the Corinthians in the 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, he makes the statement, "You know the grace of our Lord, You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Well, that just simply says that he did not stand back demanding his own rights. He took what rightfully was his and said, look, it's yours if you need it, and I'll give it to you freely. That's the philosophy of the Lord. What a beautiful quality that is. And it is a philosophy. But it's a philosophy that comes about because of the birth. I think this man did not stop and say, what is my philosophy now under circumstances like this? Let's see. And flip through his philosophical handbook to man on side of road. Apply oil and wine. No. This man's philosophy was contained in here. This is the way he was. The hurt that he felt for this man was all up and down his spine. He sympathized and empathized with him to the point that he couldn't stand to see a fellow human being lying there and him go on his merry way. And so he ministered to him in this very beautiful way. This man's reward is going to be great. When Paul was talking about this kind of living, as he talked about how the people of Macedonia had given and sacrificed even what they should have kept for themselves and sent it to the church in Jerusalem, he said, he has scattered abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness abides forever. And in Matthew 25, Jesus told those people who were unaware really that they'd done anything. They said, well, Lord, when did we see you like this? He said, when you did, you fed me, you clothed me, you visited me, you helped me. They said, well, when did we see you like that? Their philosophy amounts to simply the fact that they were what they are, and their reward is going to be great. Jesus said, come on, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. You see, what this man, the lawyer, was asking was simply this. Jesus, what philosophy of life must I have if I'm going to be given eternal life? What philosophy of life must I have if I'm going to be given eternal life? Jesus said it's the philosophy of life like the Samaritan had. Being like the robbers, that's out. Being like the priest and the Levite, that's out. It's not enough just to take advantage of other people's rights. It's not enough to just refrain from filling other people's needs, though you give them their rights. The man who's going to get into the kingdom of God, Jesus says, is the man who guarantees other people's rights and guarantees other people's needs, even at the expense of his own rights. Now, that's the attitude of heart that Jesus would have us develop. Now, one admonition. Don't look for this man on the road from Jerusalem down to Jericho. That's not where he's going to be. Don't look for the man that's been taken advantage of there. That man will be on one of the streets in Searcy this week. He'll be in one of the department stores or one of the places of business this week. He'll be on the campus this week. What are you going to do about it? Well, I'm not going to rob anybody. All right, wonderful. I'm going to see that he gets his rights. That's good. Will you also see that he receives his needs, even at the expense of your own rights? That's what he's asking us to be. And that's not easy. And the older you get, the harder you get, the colder. Let's be careful. May God bless us. Where are you living today? What's your address? 101 Robber Lane? 202 Priest Place? Or is it all and all Samaritan Boulevard? That's the one that leads to heaven. I hope you make it, and I hope you help me make it. If you've been offensive to God or your fellow man and would like to respond today and say so, we want you to come. We'll help you. We'll pray for you. We'll get the elders to pray for you. If you need to obey the gospel and take upon yourself this kind of morality that Jesus is teaching here, then you come, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized into him. By this you say, I want to live your philosophy. I want to be what you want me to be. We're here to serve you. Would you come while we stand and sing?